Hey folks, welcome to River Radio. I'm your host, Sam Carter. It's great to have you with us. And today our guest is Corey Robinson. Corey, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Glad to have you. Corey is a local photographer and filmmaker and has completed a project called Water is for Fighting, which was funded by the National Geographic Society. Corey, would you tell us about this project, Water is for Fighting?
Yeah, sure. So I received a grant last summer from the National Geographic Society to create four short films about different freshwater conservation stories around the U.S. I've grown up around rivers. I've been in whitewater my whole life, and I come at these topics from a really specific perspective. And I've been working in television for a while, and I wanted to look into some of these stories from varying viewpoints all around the country and see how people were fighting for their water resources and why things were important for them. And I knew that I had this venue of the National Geographic Society behind me, which I knew could help get more attention to these topics that I find important and that I think are very important for lots of people around the country.
Mm-hmm. So the word fighting and water, I feel like in the West, in the dry West, the arid West, they kind of go together sometimes, and it can be an uncomfortable pairing of words. Why did you choose fighting in your title?
Yeah, so the title kind of is the second half of a quote that I've heard that's usually incorrectly attributed to Mark Twain, but whiskey is for drinking and water is for fighting, which I think for a lot of river trips is probably accurate. And it's in so many cases, I mean, in the arid West, there's certainly in the scarcity of water is something that people fight over constantly. But even in some of the stories I did in the East, it's still fighting for just a little bit different set of reasons. But the water is no less important where there's lots of it as well, and no less worthy of fighting for.
Mm-hmm. And so, am I right? There's four videos you made. Mm-hmm. Can you just give us the locations of those four videos?
Yeah. So the first one I went to was Eastern North Carolina, a story about the industrial hog industry there. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the epicenter for where we make our pork in this country. And then the next one was on the Savannah River on the border of South Carolina and Georgia, and they were fighting against a new gas pipeline that was proposed to put in pretty much the length of the river. Then I was out in the desert in eastern Nevada with a sheep rancher there who was fighting to protect his dribbles of water from Las Vegas, who was coming up and buying ranches and planning to ship the water 300 miles or so away to the city. And then I finished up in Idaho on the Salmon River, where I sort of grew up, and I was a river guide there for lots of years, and it felt a little bit like coming home. But that story was about dories and the wilderness ethic around rivers up there.
Mm-hmm. Would you take one of those four and tell us more about that story?
Sure. I guess in Nevada, I got to spend time with a rancher named Hank Vogler. And he's working on his dream here. He'll tell you he spent the last 30, 40 years building, you know, his Sistine Chapel. And he raises sheep, and he's watched his community sort of disappear around him as Las Vegas, Southern Nevada Water Authority, came up and bought up ranches around for their water rights with the intention of piping their water away. And I thought that was one of the most interesting for me because, you know, I grew up as a suburban kid in New York. And while I got to travel a lot, being in the desert with a sheep rancher was very new for me. And he, in the beginning, he was very skeptical of, you know, this kid with a green kayak on top of his car showing up with New York plates saying, like, let's film. So he came from a really different perspective than me. And he was eventually opened up and very gracious in spending some time with me and really describing why he felt that the water was more valuable with him than in a golf course or in a fountain at the Bellagio. And sort of to understand his perspective and what it's done to his community and what he fears it might do, was a really rewarding and it sort of enlightening experience for me. And he's just hysterical as well. I learned a lot of new sayings from him.
So you got the story about this guy, and I watched the video. I don't feel like I know the outcome. What's the outcome of that story?
Yeah, so it's ongoing. It seems like the Southern Nevada Water Authority is not going to build this pipeline. Right now they're tasked with managing all these ranches that they have bought up in this area, which is somewhat of a challenge, and Hank will tell you all about. But it seems like it's not going to happen right now. But you know how these things go with water projects in the West. The next moment it could be, they could flick the switch and it could be on again. So,
Zooming back out, thinking about all the different stories that you did your project on, the four stories and other things you probably learned about, what do you feel like is really threatening water, fresh water in our country, in our region, in our world?
Sure. You know, one of the things that ties all of these stories together, really, in terms of the threats to these areas, is people putting, you know, whoever's got the biggest checkbook, and wherever the money is to be made, and putting profits over people or land or water. For example, in eastern North Carolina, the hog industry there has done some really, it supports the economy there and creates lots of jobs, but the way that they go about handling the waste has really been harmful to the air and the water there, and the people making the money don't have to live there, and they're, you know, the politicians don't have to live there, and they are supported by the people making the money. So, and that sort of feeling of that where the money is to be made is where the decisions get made, instead of what it is actually doing to the land or the people that have to live around the land. Or for in Hank's example, you know, if they drain that aquifer, he's got nothing. So, but Las Vegas has a pretty big checkbook. So, sort of, I think that that whoever's got the biggest checkbook makes the decisions, and sometimes doesn't keep the water and the land in mind when that's happening.
And looking at our area here, Southwest Colorado, the Four Corners, what's your assessment of fresh water? Do you feel like there's threats to our water? Or is our water systems, our water, like the ecological layers, how are they doing in your eyes?
Yeah, it's been very interesting. You know, I've only been here about a year, and it's been really fascinating. And the Dolores River is especially a fascinating example of such varied pressures and uses. And how do you value which uses are worthy of this scarce resource? And that's such a complex question. And you know, I come at it from my background of loving to be on these rivers, and being able to float the Lower Dolores this year is like absolutely amazing. But you know, I try to put myself in somebody else's shoes who's been, you know, ranching a certain way forever and wants to make sure that they've got that for the whole life. And, you know, it's a fascinatingly complex issue. And I'm thankful that we do get to float the river, but I'm also, you know, thankful that we get to have such a varied landscape here.
So the project Waters for Fighting has wrapped up. I think you told me you're looking at possibly sending out your films to some festivals. What's next for you otherwise?
I'm freelancing, doing lots of other projects. I'm working on working with the American Canoe Association on a project with a different paddling related instruction. I'm following up on a couple of I'm spending a little bit of time on one of the stories that I worked on for the Waters for Fighting project. That's sort of grown a little bit, and editing a bunch of things, just trying to catch up. I'm glad to be in town for a little while to catch up on editing and finishing up some projects.
And these next projects, do you seek funding? Do you have your own? What's your funding?
Yeah, I'm a freelancer, so that's like the most complex answer ever. It comes from everywhere and nowhere sometimes. It's all people that I've met along the way that I've been really lucky to make these connections with. And, you know, if they've got a project that they think I might be good for, I get the phone call.
All right, last question, super short answer. In one of the videos, there's these amazing kayaks that fold up into a little suitcase. Just tell us real quick about this origami thing.
Yeah, the Oru kayaks. That was a project I did in Nicaragua, and there you check them as your check bag on the airplane, and then, you know, 5 minutes later, it's a 16-foot sea kayak that we went and made some pretty significant crossings in. So they're kind of nifty little crafts.
They're sturdy?
I was nervous with my lack of sea kayaking experience, and I'm going out in this like folding garbage can, it felt like, for a minute, but it got us where we needed to go. And yeah, they served us well.
Excellent. Well, Corey, thanks so much for being here. We really appreciate you coming on River Radio.
Yeah. Thanks for having me,
folks. That's Corey Robinson talking about his project Water is for Fighting. You can learn more about that via ksjd.org. Thanks so much for being here. More of Morning Edition with Austin Cope is right around the corner.